We are at the common room.
I'm Evan.
I'm Martin.
I interjected there early on.
I think it worked.
I think it played well.
It was working until we did this.
We're getting very meta about it. What do you think Dear John is over here? Look at this.
Open it.
It's three songs.
Oh, it's called Dear John. The song is Dear John.
Oh, that's disappointing. I was expecting it to be like... I wanted to like...
This man had a... Or this woman. No, either or.
It could be either, I suppose, but... It would have been fun for it to have been like...
Awakening, it was like, I'm going to make... That would be a fun thing to do. You write a playlist to yourself. It'd be a very difficult thing to do.
Not really. You just pick songs that you like, identify with or something.
Yeah, give a message to you. Message in a bottle.
I love sending, like, playlists to people. It's fun.
You've never sent a playlist to me.
You'd be like, what's all this? What's all this garbage?
My music taste has become a lot similar to yours.
Somewhat.
I would say more. I don't play songs that you outright hate anymore.
That is true. Sorry, I'm taking a drink from my water. Got parched halfway through. This is the last show we have all year, and it might just be the last show that we'll ever have.
It won't be. We're definitely having a show again.
There are big changes coming.
There are no changes coming. we are once again going to have a show.
We're going
to
be different
at
people.
At some point next year.
Do you think, as I'm moving the chair like this, do you think if someone were to be listening with headphones, would it be panning from left to right?
No.
If I was doing this?
The input is still like single source.
Well, thanks for solving that issue. So yeah, like Martin said, this might be our last show ever.
You know, you queued up.
Oh, it's on twice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You just fully didn't queue up the other song.
It's right here. Look, it's been solved.
Okay.
You're making a mountain out of a molehill. You ever heard that phrase?
No, never in my life.
Well, you're making it. You're doing it. We started it. Wait a second. There's no way it's still. The clock is wrong. It's 9:11, and it says 9:06 on the computer.
Do you not remember last week when we
did? We have the same exact situation.
Yes, while speaking, we both.
Oh, that was at the end of the show. We were like, "That says 52, but it's actually 56."
Oh, yeah, the next show was already here, and we were like, "Oh, we have 8 minutes. Oh, we really don't.
We don't. We can only play one short song." For those of you who aren't in the studio with us,
you won't
be able to see the fact that they've painted the wall and now the door, and it's very fun.
I have a slight gripe with the door paint. It looks fantastic, but they've painted the outside of the door. Hopefully they paint the inside of the door because
they'll paint it next, or I mean. If you had to paint one side, you would paint the side that they painted, because it's for like when you walk into the room, that side of the door is painted and it's nice and it's decorated. But then you close it, it's like, oh, you've already seen it. It doesn't really need to be.
I guess
it would obviously be better if both sides were painted. And maybe they will be
gonna paint.
Yeah, I think they did a great job, especially the wall. Wall looks really nice.
We've described it before.
All the intricacies up there. And look, they added all these posters. Oh, my God. Those are Beatles posters. Oh, my gosh. Fantastic. I didn't even see those. Oh, they're all over. Oh, my gosh.
we are blind.
Oh, and that's a Floyd up there. That's... Wow. And how are we just seeing all this now?
Because we walked in and we were fully blind.
That's Dark Side of the Moon right there.
You noticed that the chair was the wrong chair?
But immediately. I sat down. They had switched the chairs, and I sat down in the headmaster's chair, which I assume week after week, and I immediately was like, this is not the luscious
it's a definite office chair that I'm
used to. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that got resolved, but nonetheless, a lot of really great posters up on the walls now. I really had no idea that they'd done this.
It looks great.
It does look great. They've actually really made this place pretty darn decent. Oh, you know, that's cool, Marty. Look, that picture, the picture of George up there, extends into the next photo. Like, it's two autonomous pictures. The one where up on the top. On
we're
the
far describing
right.
photos on or on
like
a radio
you
show.
And I are having a conversation. You know, you're here to see it. We need to isolate our audience. Leave them in mystery.
You're big on this mystery thing.
I think it's good to go through life with a element of mystery. You gotta keep.
I would agree. Other than food,
you gotta keep your
definitely
cards.
Definitely can't go through life with mystery food.
What are you talking about, mystery food?
Do you remember yesterday at the restaurant where?
I mean, yeah. In your case, you have to be like,
no,
I need
in
to
my
know the
case,
ingredients.
But someone asked you what was in the soup, and you're like, I don't know. It's a mystery. Like you.
Yeah. Well, that's just like what's gonna happen. Like they're gonna.
If
there disown
was
a me
mystery
as a friend for not
soup.
I was really disappointed that the soup was not the soup that they advertised.
Yeah,
We had this great dinner yesterday because it was our friend Sam's birthday. And
shout out to Sam.
All right. he might be listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sam, if you're listening, thank you. For listening. And for dinner.
Yeah, well, we didn't pay.
No, but it was like we wouldn't have gone out for dinner if not for Sam's birthday. And we wouldn't have Sam's birthday if we didn't have Sam.
So we really have to thank Mr. and Mrs. Arnold at the end of the day. We had this great dinner and they had this appetizer. You know how they leave like a piece of paper on the table with like specials and appetizers and all that, and they had a delicious looking soup that they called soup.
It
said soup, and then it had all of like the main ingredients under it, and it sounded delicious. It was like steak and vegetables and garlic, all these wonderful
soup.
Things. And I order it with the utmost confidence, and I was expecting it. And then 5 minutes later, the lady comes out and she's like, "Hey, we changed the soup.
We
it's now
soup.
Like cold tomato bisque." Bisque.
Bisque.
However you pronounce the I. I immediately said, Biscay. Absolutely not.
What did you say?
I will buy it just so I can throw it in
like,
your face.
You said, didn't you say?
I was like, I will not be having it.
I remember it was a very like Evan thing to say. You were like, I will not be having soup.
I think the lady was like, do you still want the soup? And I said,
she was
I
confused
will
by
no
your
longer
reply.
Be getting the soup. It was there was another. No, maybe it was just that. When you're at the end of the table, you have to assume the, like, hey, you and I are going to be talking, like, the waitress, waiter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be taking orders from them.
That's not at all how that works.
Well, somewhat. Like, when they come by and they're like, is everything all right, or does anyone need more water?
Okay, yeah.
Avery and I had to be like, yes or no. We didn't say yes or no, obviously, but it's referring to the context of the situation.
The most awkward part of any dinner where people go out, I think, is when the waiter, and it's a group of people, like family, friends, strangers that you're having dinner with, anyone, is the part where the waiter or waitress goes, okay, what are we having? And then someone has to start, and everyone looks around because no one wants to go first.
In a group setting, it's more difficult than one-on-one, I feel like. One-on-one.
Well, yeah, there's no, you're the only person.
Well, I guess the method usually is whoever's, I think the waitress / waiter establishes the order.
They
by,
usually look
like,
at someone.
They'll indicate to someone first, and then they kind of have to hope that
the
people dying will establish an order.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a make or break situation.
No, it's not make or break, but it's always like, it's like a
who's gonna
dead
do it?
Silence of like, okay, who's ordering?
Do you, like, I don't know. Not to get too deep so early on in the show, but do you think it's interesting? I don't even. It's like a half-developed thought, but it's like the idea of having fellow human beings serve you food. Is it messed up?
No,
it's not.
That's what?
Like being like enjoying the feeling of being. Of having another person serve you. I don't know. A little bit imperialistic.
I don't.
It's
think
not.
So.
It's a half developed thought. It is interesting though. You have anything to add? I see.
It's just a... No, I don't ever think
there's
that.
Nothing wrong with restaurants as a ideology.
No, it's also not an ideology. It's a social construct. But that's a lie. It's not a social construct.
Well,
I don't know what a social construct is. It's just...
Like, what's a social construct? Like,
Like, it's gender social construct? Is that the
marriage
answer?
Marriage is a social construct.
Marriage isn't all that, like... never mind.
Well, go ahead.
No, it's just like
marriage is great.
Like, yeah, but it's not necessary.
No, it's not, but it's the way of things.
It is. But like it's a very symbolic thing, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's also a time to just like gather friends for a union.
Yeah, everyone loves a good wedding.
Yeah, weddings are fantastic.
Weddings are nice. I was kind of expecting you to pick up the pieces after I made my comment. I think on that note, we're just going to jump right into the first songs. It's 9:19.
It's 9:20.
And we'll be back for 2.5 hours more of just dull dialogue after.
Well, I don't think that was dull dialogue.
It was unbelievably dull. I'm falling asleep over here.
Definitely more interesting than our encyclopedia discussion.
I don't know how we got there, and I don't know why we spent so much time talking about it.
For half an hour.
We've got two high-energy songs to start off the night.
Fantastic first song.
The second one you may
never
know. You may know it when you hear it. First song's called White Room by Cream. Awesome song. I really am a big
fan of
this song.
What's the other Cream big song?
They do a Sunshine of Your Love.
That's the other
big one. And the second song is Oye Como Va by Santana. You may know it when you hear it. It's like a...
I feel like
you could like dance to that song.
So Santana songs, I don't recognize them by name.
But you know,
but like,
I've heard them before. Yeah. Anyway, so we've got those two. And then who knows where we're going to go after that.
Station. Black roof country, no gold payment, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eye. Dawnlight smile on you leaving my contentment. The station. Platform ticket, restless diesels, goodbye windows. I walked into such a sad time at the station. As I walked out, felt my own need just beginning.
Shadows run from themselves.
Welcome back to the common room.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Not much to report in terms of a new conversation. We kind of just sat in silence for 10 minutes. I tried to talk to Martin, and he flipped me off for no reason whatsoever.
I'm being slandered.
That's exactly what someone who committed, what's the word?
Crime?
No.
Act?
Villainous act.
Okay.
Let's say.
You like, expected me to come up with villainous?
You gotta meet me halfway, Mark. You gotta present something. I spent $650 on the entire
24 book anthology. So expensive.
Yeah, no, we had them in our middle school library, and yeah, they all
elementary and middle school.
You put them all together, and they like form they one them, yeah. image. Yeah.
Oh
and,
my god, we are talking.
I
about
never touched those books. Yeah. They're fascinating. Do you think they're the most fascinating thing that starts with the letter E?
Enchiladas.
Enchiladas are probably most
elephants.
Fascinating.
Eels. No, eels are the most fascinating thing that start with E.
Well, don't jump the gun here. There could be more exciting things
think
than
of
eels.
Something.
Evangelical priest.
That's not interesting in the slightest.
No, that's probably painfully boring.
Evangelical.
What are you looking at?
I thought it was my phone that was buzzing. Evan, you start with an E.
No, it can't be proper nouns. No, we're talking about improper nouns. Excellence is probably pretty
fun
to have.
Yeah, but that's not interesting.
I mean, if you are excellent at something, people are probably interested in what you're excellent
at. Yeah, but
at.
The word itself and the meaning behind the word itself of excellence is not interesting. Because okay. You could say fantastic, and it's the same thing. Actually, no, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
You could say superb, and it would be the same thing.
Or excelsior. Is that a
that,
noun?
That one's... I
What is that word? What
it
does it mean?
Stan Lee's...
It's also the state motto of New York, Excelsior.
It was his, like, not catchphrase, but, like, his go-to statement.
He would just say it out loud, Excelsior. That's a word that I feel like you write down, but you don't say out loud.
What do you mean?
Like, there are certain words that you could use in an essay, but you would never use in normal conversation.
When are you going to use Excelsior in an essay?
Well, maybe if you are... If you are writing about someone who is traveling to the state of New York, and you are like, I've just passed the Pennsylvania-New York border, and the sign says, Excelsior, is the state motto. I said
yeah,
that
but
30
like,
seconds ago.
You said that's something you use more in an essay, yet before you, or like in writing, you said it before you even got to
just
that.
Just because I said that, it's not commonly used in dialogue,
but
doesn't mean I'm like banned from saying
it. It's not commonly used in dialogue, but it's also not commonly used in writing.
That's true. It's
unless
not like commonly used in anything.
Specifically about
it's a,
New York
it's
State's
a silly
motto.
Word. It's silly.
What's
like I feel
Pennsylvania's motto?
They had the whole don't tread on me thing.
Oh,
for
that,
a while,
that
but that's
it?
More of like a nationwide thing at this point. I know that the Philadelphia Union, the soccer team and the MLS, that they've adopted that quote. Don't it's awesome. And like the flag with the snake, like that's very cool. Don't tread on me. It's very cool.
It's taken on a different
it ha-
unfortunate meaning though.
Has
not,
it become,
not meaning, but like
has it become like a,
I would just
like
say
a
it's
conservative
like,
right wing type thing?
I
guess I could see why.
I think it's been adopted
at a foundational
issue.
Level. It's a very cool, like almost. I guess because it was always very much like a patriotic phrase. It's like an American.
It's such a shame.
And I could
when
see why.
Good, like symbols or statements or mottos
become adopted by
become
a problematic like
yeah,
thing. Yeah,
on like both sides of any. Any extreme group, political, religious, anything.
Yeah.
It's such a shame when fantastic symbols...
Symbols are even like messages like that.
Yeah.
Like a phrase or something gets adopted by a radical
yeah.
group of some kind.
It's interesting how we talked about this in my History 123 class.
like at the beginning of the semester, how a lot of like extreme right-wing groups have adopted like medieval symbolism. Like at the Capitol riot, the shaman dude, like very medieval-esque, he had like medieval tattoos. They had like the Knights Templar, like the Crusades, like they have adopted that symbol. And they're like trying to not recreate, but like reminisce about this time when like where they think it was like all white Christians, and it really wasn't. Yeah, like Europe was not just a white Christian.
I think when something like that gets adopted by like a modern day group of some kind, that's really the prime motivation for adopting it, is being like, we idealize like what that symbol represents when it was first founded. Like that's what
they're like idealizing history.
Yeah.
But they really haven't researched the history behind the symbol. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's a good symbol. This is like a brief summary of it, and that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they accept it at like face value. They don't really understand like any substance to it. Do you think that slight conversation switch here? Do you think COVID wouldn't have been as politicized if it was in the middle of Trump's term as president, because it sort of aligned with election season.
Well, it aligned with election season, but I think also maybe a factor. I would say it is a factor.
It would have been
why it got so politicized was because Trump, first of all, kind of politicized it himself, and second of all, didn't handle it. At all. He just kind of refused to handle it.
It would have still been, like, hyper-politicized no matter what, but it was definitely a factor, was the fact that, like, hey, let's elect Joe and get rid of the COVID. I think that was part of, like, reason why he was elected, was that people
thought that.
And it's kind of it's strange that since he's been elected, you don't really get those daily COVID reports anymore, like, on your phone.
Well, because it's, like, gotten better.
It's also gotten, and, like, it's gotten better.
And, vaccination rollout was much better. Like, it was butchered initially.
It had to be, really. Like, that's the thing. If you're stepping into office at a time like this, your top priority has to be vaccines and getting people healthy, I guess.
And I guess another thing is, Biden has, Trump was seemingly, there would always be, like, some random article about, Trump has said this, and people are confused to why he said this. Whereas Biden's very, like, it's press release. Like, it's not just, like, random tweeting of...
Because every day, back when
that one was...
Back when the Donald was president, you're getting news articles every single day talking about, like, look at this stupid thing he said today, or, like, let's talk about what he said. With
Biden is very, like, it's done through, like, press releases and the press conferences.
It's much more...
Trump, like, he put out his entire, like... If he got up in the morning, he would, like, send out a tweet. Like, it was very, like, his entire... basis was tweeting anything that moved.
The all of like news about Biden and like the White House in general at this point is much more just analytical and bare bones, whereas when it was Trump, it was like opinionated.
No,
like,
so
incredibly opinionated.
Trump managed to turn a lot of the media against him.
But at the same time, the media loved Trump because it gave them a story every single day. CNN, no matter how much they bash on the dude, loved the fact that he was president because they can put out stories every single day and rally the entire nation against the dude. And people just blindly, stupidly watch CNN and think that it's like the word of God. And it's like, oh, that's not even news. None of it was news. It's on both sides. Fox, CNN, all that.
Yeah, Fox and CNN, like,
all of mainstream...
conservative, CNN is one for liberal,
it's
the exact same thing. Mm-hmm, they just have differing views.
Both sides are just as evil in their own ways, but the fact of the matter is that they both are just pointing fingers at the other one and saying, like, they're the evil ones, when they literally just behave the same exact way.
That actually ties into a question, I would say, I was going to bring up. I don't know if this is just because we're more, like, grown up, so we actually probably watch the news more and actually care about what's happening in the world more. But do you think that for the past, like, I don't know, 5-10 years, people care more about politics?
Absolutely. Like, what the president does? I think that has to do with the fact that like social media has become has given literally anyone the platform to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge part of it, is that social media gives people an audience to express literally anything at any time.
People who grew up in I would say we grew up in social media. Like,
we were the cutoff. Our age group was essentially the cutoff, where we had a relatively technology-free childhood, in the terms of like, we didn't get iPads and iPhones when we were 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah,
we both probably got our first iPhones in like 8th, 9th grade.
I got
we
were starting to become like iPhone a young in adult. Like 9th grade, and yeah. I had like the iPod.
Exactly, we had iPods, and we had computers in the house and all that.
Have iPads. It's like what?
Like that's what? Like that's the cutoff. Is that like, even you can look at kids who are 2, 3, 4 years younger than us, and they grew up in a ridiculously different way than we did. Where they had iPads handed to them when they're like 8 years old, and that's so messed up. Like, I'm thankful that we actually, I mean, I don't know the intricacies of your childhood, Martin, but like, I'm thankful that I had a relatively technology-free childhood, where like I used to read every night before I went to bed for like up until I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. I was reading at night.
All the time.
Now it's weird. We're just on our phones for hours on end, and then we stay awake till 2 a.m, and then we fall asleep, and then we wake up and you check the phone. Yeah. Like, it's now it's completely incorporated into everything we do.
Even reading, like I used to own tons of books, and I would read just continuously.
Yeah.
And then I guess high school, I fell out of it. And then when I tried to like pick up my reading pace, it was like, oh, here's a Kindle. Now, I was very against Kindles initially.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
doesn't feel the same. Yeah, yeah.
Then I started using a Kindle, and it swayed me. You can have like 100 books downloaded. A whole library.
Yeah, no, I could see the benefits of the Kindle.
The one I have is, it's like not a backlit one, which means it's much easier on the eyes. And it's like black and white. It doesn't have like any other functionality other than reading.
Exactly. That's I was about to say. What's cool about the Kindle is that, I guess the Kindle Fire is a bit different, but just the straight up Kindle, it doesn't try to overextend itself. Literally all it is just buy books and read on it.
Yeah, like, my dad had a Kindle, and it was a Kindle, but you could like, I don't remember if you could watch stuff, but you could definitely like go on the internet and stuff. It was a very just like, at this point, it's basically an iPad.
My sister and I had Kindle Fires when we were like somewhat children. I guess we were probably 13. I was probably 13 or 14.
She was like early teenager.
Yeah, like tween age. We had Kindle Fires, and they were fun. That was really the first, advanced technology that we had, other than like we had like iPod Touches probably by that point. It was essentially like a mini iPad, a little Diet Coke of iPads, really. It was great. I mean, it was fun.
Diet Coke of iPads.
I don't know. I think, I think the rise in like everyone being political about things has certainly something to do with the fact that social media is like, has become dominant force.
Like, it was dominant for the past, like, definitely past, like, 8 years or so, decade. But I feel like there's been a shift recently where, especially with like COVID, Facebook has managed to screw their image up entirely. So like, people aren't using Facebook. Like, no one uses Facebook.
Facebook is a dying thing.
No one uses Facebook. People still use Instagram quite heavily.
Yeah.
MySpace has been dead for years. Even like Vine, that
Vine
kind
did,
of
died,
was a social media thing
died
that died
years ago,
but then TikTok reemerged.
Yeah, like
that.
The new Vine. TikTok is cancerous. Everyone uses TikTok. The fact of the matter is this: Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok are the same thing.
I'm amazed.
They're all the
Snapchat
same
has filled a niche that will ensure it remains.
Oh, there will always be Snapchat. There will always
that's
be
like
Snapchat.
No other, like, no other social media has like that.
It's a particular way of interacting with people.
Yeah. Like my Facebook and Instagram and... What's the other one?
Snapchat, Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, and less so Instagram, because that's just an offshoot of Facebook's company.
That's much...
Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. Same exact thing. They are the exact same thing.
Yeah. Twitter's much more, like, suited to, like, news and sports. It's really good for, because you can get, like, just automatic updates.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to follow a football game, you're getting updates the entire time, live updates. I don't know. I think, like, my brother, years ago, when Snapchat first came out a long time ago, my brother claims he was one of, like, the first people to really jump on it, like, amongst people that we know, obviously. And it was... Originally, it didn't have stories, and you couldn't screenshot, and it was sending pictures of yourself, and you could caption it. You couldn't do multiple caption spaces.
Yeah.
It was just one. So, and you could only have one line, apparently.
Yeah.
So you had to send, if you had a big thing to say, you had to send multiple Snapchats. But that is something, like, Snap will never go away, because it fills a particular niche
that everyone
wants to use.
Wants to
as
use.
Like a young person, especially, like, that's what you want to use.
I would say a big part of it is that, like, in Messenger and Facebook's Messenger and Instagram messages, you can technically delete them if they haven't been seen. But in Snap, it's like, unless they screenshot it, and it will tell you if they screenshot it, it's gone.
It's actually kind of genius, the fact that, yeah, it's gone forever, and if people do decide to hang on to it, they're informed of it.
They're informed, yeah. Which actually is a quite nice, like, good on them for having that feature.
Yeah, because then that would open the door to a whole lot of, like, villainy.
Yes.
If not. I was going to say something. I forget.
You forgot.
I don't know. I think... Oh, also, I think what correlated with the rise, but at least with, like, kids our age, was the fact that we were all going to high school, and you're surrounded by young people who are all, I guess, it's not like a social pressure, but it's, I guess it sort of is a bit of social pressure
to join
social media at, like, the age of, like, 9th, 10th, like, even 8th grade.
What's the first year? Is that 8th grade? Freshman year is 8th grade?
9th. 8th grade's the end of middle school. Right. That was when I think I got Instagram 8th grade.
I didn't get Snapchat, I think, until, like, junior year.
I was late on Snapchat.
Snapchat and Instagram I got junior year. Facebook I got freshman year. And I got it solely, initially, the reason I got it was because, like, all clubs, all sports would have Facebook pages. And they would give, like, updates on the Facebook page.
Yeah, it was, like, a necessity to have it.
But, like, when I graduated, we had a radio station Facebook page. And when I joined freshman year, like, each post or whatever would get, like, at least 10 comments or with people volunteering, and then, like, at least, like, 100 likes or whatever it was. But by senior year, when I was graduating, it'd be like, oh, maybe 8 likes and 0 comments. Like,
it died.
It died so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Facebook was,
Facebook is still pretty popular for adults.
I think Facebook will stick around.
It will.
They also
manage to royally screw themselves again.
I think Facebook owns Instagram.
They do. Yeah.
And I think they might also own TikTok.
No, they don't own TikTok. Facebook owns Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Messenger is a... It's just like, it's Facebook, but that it's two apps.
Facebook's
stupid.
Like, Zuckerberg's smart for buying Instagram, because that is what's going to keep...
Did they buy Instagram, or did they make Instagram?
I don't think they made Instagram. I could be wrong about that, but either way, that's how they stay relevant, because Instagram is a Facebook company.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know if this is true, but Instagram is really, kind of, I would say, advertises itself to be more, not youth-oriented.
Yes, but like, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Other than, like, celebrities, like, probably the median age of people on Instagram is, like, our age.
16, 17, 18.
Or younger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say totally. 16 to 20 years old.
That's why I'm very interested. I've thought about this before. The fact that it really came to the fore when we were, like, in high school.
Yeah. And that's, like, a time when it's very, like, social pressures and...
Yeah. But and, do you like, think that as
social
we...
social image is a big thing.
As we go through college, and once we eventually graduate college and we become, like, genuine adults, do you think that people will keep their Instagram accounts when they get into, like, their 20s and their mid-20s, and then, like they start living their own lives, and they... start
I would
having
say
families.
Maybe
like I'm
a year or two after graduation, but not like not long term.
I'm totally interested
because
we were really
stuff.
Like work.
Because the whole point of Facebook was like it like you could do you remember that friend you had in like 5 years ago?
Yeah,
you
now
could
you
add
can
them and talk
yeah,
to them.
Now you could talk to that person. Like
it was really a good
like,
way.
That's the thing. Social media at its barest in its like in its. Like most
in its barest form
primitive
of
form
yeah.
It's awesome because yeah. It connects people from across the world like that's great
yeah
but there's no way of keeping it that simple it's, and there's always going to be bad people who do
there'll always be bad people and you'll never find a company that is
morally sound
enough to manage something that has like 500 million people
yes no there's even if the company
and
is
Facebook
morally
is
sound
not
None of them. None of them are. But the fact of the matter is that even if they were and they made a genuine effort to be, they can't control it. It's completely out of their control when it comes down to like that many people using their.
Yeah, I watched a video on. It was talking about Facebook, like people who just go through Facebook making sure, like, oh, that's not following guidelines, remove it. And it was talking about the people who are paid to do this, and apparently the turnover is quite high because like the stuff that some people see, is just like it really affects.
Did you ever
them.
See the documentary called what's it called? Social Dilemma.
I may have.
It was like a new thing on Netflix a few months ago about like. These and it
was like interviews, right?
Yeah, it was interviews about people who used to work at Instagram, and they said
like
they said
when we made it, we meant it to be this, and it just
like
it
that's didn't. What they're like. I parted ways with Instagram because I was ethically concerned about what was going on, which is crazy
especially with like
and totally valid
data stealing,
data fraud,
data
I guess,
fraud,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like. Facebook or like accounts being stolen yeah. Like so many people
there are yeah there
know people or they themselves have had their accounts hacked
mm-hmm. Yeah you see it like every like I'm sure if you're actively on Instagram every few weeks you're getting like a new follow from someone you know but it's like a new account and they're like oh my old account got hacked
yeah or when in high school they would recover the passwords and stuff, and it was like you would get some random text from someone you were friends with, and it was like, hey, I didn't know you were in this video, and then not the sketchiest link in the world. And then the next day, they would send out a mass message to everyone saying, hey, my account was stolen,
yeah,
don't open anything.
Exactly.
For me.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole part of being involved in it is having to. I had never had any.
Social
sort of
media
situation
has
like
really
that.
Helped fraud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's too late now to change and it's like going to continue to snowball into something bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't really, that's the thing, I can't imagine what, especially like the youth is going to look like in 10 to 20 years. I really don't know what that's going to be. I like to think that it's some sort of pendulum. Things go, like things that are out of style go back into style in however much time, but I don't know. I really have no idea where we're going as a, I don't know.
I would say that your idea of a pendulum is pretty.
I like to think that
because
in terms
like there's
of,
things that die out and then they have a resurgence, but then they'll die out again.
I don't know. There's no way of knowing. You can only speculate. It is a pretty interesting time to have, like, we people our age really grew up in the true establishment of the internet age. Like, we were born when it was just beginning to become a thing, and now we've reached an age where it's everywhere,
like
like young adults.
I'm gonna butcher the year it was invented, but wasn't it like the 80s or 90s?
The computer?
Like the World Wide Web.
probably the 90s, I would, early but 90s.
Like, it took a while to, when we were born, it was...
I know that there was, that's the thing, like, I remember when it was the turn of the century, I think my parents have told me, like, the turn of the century, there was a lot of internet and technology paranoia. Like, people thought that was Y2K, I think is what it's called.
Where
people thought that the world was going to end in 2000. People thought
the world was going to end because how are computers supposed to go from 1990, whatever, to 2000?
Yeah,
and it was going to, like, the nukes are going to go off. It's just, like, the world's going to end. It was going to be
this huge
and
malfunction.
Nothing happened. The computers knew what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother can of worms. The whole supercomputers.
Do you support AI? I support supercomputers. I don't support AI.
No, I also don't support AI because how on earth? Like, normal
AI is fine. Like Siri, that's not an AI, but like that's fine. But like the mass AI, the ones where it's the AI that you see in TV shows that could actually be a possibility, not a fan of.
There's no logical way that we can consider ourselves smarter than the AI just because we created it. AI...
Not even that, but like...
They're constantly learning, and eventually, heck, who knows, eventually they'll be like, hey, we're actually really smart, and these humans that rely on us are silly. They're dumb, and we can just... I don't know. It's far-fetched, but it's not completely irrelevant to think that.
Because
they are, like, they're supercomputers. Well, they know everything.
They're only going to improve.
They're constantly gathering more information.
And as humanity becomes more and more and more dependent on technology... Like, I don't remember who we were talking with this about, but... Tesla auto drive, whatever, autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we ever consider that? Like, I don't
people
understand.
Are lazy. That's why we've become so dependent on technology, is the fact that we've grown very lazy as a species and we want to depend on other things. We are, in our DNA, we are entirely capable of living in, like, a, for lack of better words, like, primitive society, like what it was back in years and years and years and years ago.
Like 200 years ago.
Exactly. Like, even a hell, heck, 100 years ago. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we are completely capable of surviving in a harsher lifestyle, but we just want to make our lives easier and easier. And that's the thing. At its very foundation...
That's not a bad thing,
though. It's not, because...
Because, like, people avoid things that will bring hardship.
Yes.
Like, if you have to have a conversation with someone and it's going to cause pain or just, not annoyance, but, like, discomfort, you're gonna put it off. Like, that's just in our nature.
Yeah. It's, and I understand
the
fact...
No one's going to go walk in a fire. It's just our nature.
It's not to be, I'm not disputing the fact that technology helps our lives in a lot of ways, and, like, appropriately makes our lives easier, but at the same time, like, it's not all good. And the longer that we put off the realization that we are increasingly dependent upon technology, the worse the ramifications are going to be when inevitably everything goes to crap.
Like, yeah.
Eventually something's going to happen and it's going to threaten everybody.
Yeah.
Whether that be like nuclear war or the robots, the computers taking over, who's to say what's going to happen? But
I mean,
it's not going to keep going on forever without ramifications.
Like, during the Cold War, I think it was the Soviet side, some radar station or whatever, did you hear about this? They picked up, like, they thought Americans had launched a nuke, or a missile. And the dude was like, maybe, but the system is a bit sketchy, and it makes no sense that they would. And it turns out they didn't, and good on him for not telling the Soviets, otherwise it would have been nuclear war. But, like, that was fully just, like, a computer thing.
A computer malfunction.
And that could, one man...
Had the intuition, the natural intuition to be like, this doesn't make sense.
Why would they launch a nuke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, and, not even that, but the... It was the Hawaii...
Pearl Harbor.
No. Hawaii, the notification from not
FEMA. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, a few years ago when they had...
That wasn't a computer malfunction. That was like a human malfunction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the fact that they could do it so easily on a computer is and
for,
quite
worrying. For like several minutes, people were like...
in case they need to do it. It wasn't even several minutes. It was like people were like going out and like...
Like, this is it.
And like,
I like saying goodbye to people.
Saying
like,
goodbye to people.
I remember, that was crazy.
It's like, I saw the news article and I was like, what?
Oh my god, like, this oh is, this, god. It's happening. Like, this is it.
Yeah, it's just like, that's what people in Hawaii were thinking. And then like, when it came out, like, it
was a false alarm, guys.
it's like, someone was definitely fired over that.
Yes.
And it's just like, how... Just, like, horrific. On that whole...
And it shows that, like, you cannot anticipate with the Hawaii thing, that was a human malfunction.
It was a human error.
But I guess with computer malfunctions...
It was a human error expedited...
By the fact that everyone was told about it.
There was, like, no safeguard.
Like, and it was like, this is not a drill.
It's
this
not
is
a
happening.
Drill.
And just everyone
like,
got it on
I
their
feel like
phones.
There should be more safeguards if you need to launch.
There needs to be barriers.
Not even, like, hard barriers to overcome, but, like...
Just be like, hey, don't send this out to everyone in the United States.
Maybe like,
authorization
by two yeah. people mm-hmm. to, like, say, hey, send it out that there's a nuke incoming.
Yeah.
By the way, we have broken our record for the least amount of songs played.
Two songs?
Two songs. We'll never beat that one.
The show is... It's over after this, so, yeah. It went out the right way.
It was a good talk.
Long, drawn-out conversation. We played two songs.
We played two songs.
The show started at like 9:08, 9:10, and then we played our first song at 9:20, and then that was over by 9:30, and we've been talking for the past half hour.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been listening to WGH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Eastern Pennsylvania. We have been the Common Room.
For the last time.
Not for the last time, for the last time this semester. We're not dying and we will be
Martin's
back.
Still in the denial stage.
We're gonna have more than just this show.
I'm at acceptance. I'm at bargaining at this point.
Wait, it's the 9 stages of grief, right?
Five?
Yeah.
Nine.
Nine's a bit many.
The 24 stages of grief. Yeah, this is it. Yeah. So
you make it sound like this is the last show for good. We'll be back next year. Or next semester.
You never know. Martin and I may have a huge falling out.
We're not going to have in the next 2 days?
And then something's going to happen, and then the show is dead.
Okay, well, we've been the Common Room. I'm Martin.
And I'm Evan.
And we'll see you, we won't see you. You'll listen to us, hopefully, next semester.